Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Listen up.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Let's get there. Eric Hill, give a break. He wants to talk soccer and the NBA Finals. What's up, Eric?
Hey guys, how y'all doing today?
We're good. How are you?
Good. Where are y'all going to see the matches at? Ojos Locos or Twin Peaks? Which one do y'all prefer?
Well, I would hope.
And hope
people go to Ojos Locos.
Yeah, I think they're better looking ladies, the Latinas. And the Shawn Mapes like the new dumpster lot cap and logo with the colors. And the downfall last night of the Spurs, does that take away the comeback from the Bills and the Falcons? That's the worst thing ever had to happen. Comeback story. I'll hang up and listen.
So, Sean, do you like the Dunkstronaut hat? If you don't know, the Rockets made a uniform switch. The Dunkstronaut logo will remain part of their attire going forward. Sean?
I'm looking. Sure. Yeah, they're fine.
Good enough for you, Eric? He thinks they're fine.
It's $40 at the Rocket Shop. You know, not hidden buy on that, but they're cool.
Good enough? All right. What else did he ask?
Maybe that's why I didn't give that opinion, because I don't really have an opinion.
They're fine, fine hats. If you want one, you won't be embarrassed by wearing one.
Eric, I'll allow you to buy one. If you're looking to buy one and you needed my validation,
If you needed the fashion advice of Sean Mates before you made a decision, now you have it. Go get yourself a hat. He won't judge you for it. He goes, you know what?
The ladies at Ojos Locos will love it.
Ooh. I did not even know that Ojos Locos had the ladies that he's talking about.
I also did not know it was a restaurant.
I did just look up Ojos Locos. Yes, there are women in Ojos Locos branded uniforms, but not like the uniforms at Best Buy.
Oh, okay.
They're like the uniforms you would see. No, like the uniforms you may see out of Twin Peaks. I don't know that they exclusively hire Latinas, as Eric was suggesting, but in this photo, they appear to be, a Latina. Maybe an even split. There are four women in this photo, and using Eric's vernacular, two Latinas, and it appears two women of Caucasian heritage. There it is. So I don't know that Ojos Locos discriminates. Go there and find out.
I don't think they discriminate. I'll say I don't think they discriminate.
Yeah, I will say I would assume, but I don't know. So you guys can go find out for yourself, and also go get yourself a chance to get some World Cup tickets. That happens tonight from 5 to 8 at Ojos Locos in Memorial. Go there, play a interactive soccer shootout game, and if you win, you get yourself Houston-based FIFA World Cup tickets. Thank you for the call, Eric. As far as the downfall of the Knicks, or he asked about. Or downfall the Spurs, but he asked about the comps between some classic chokes. I don't think it wipes anything away. There, first of all, you mentioned a couple of chokes in different sports, and one was a Super Bowl, the ultimate game, as they say. One was a wild card game that really only matters here in Buffalo. Like, sure, if you go greatest comebacks, you make a list for a video, an NFL video on YouTube, that makes a list. But for the most part, that is a local tragedy.
Yeah, and it's just like on the graphic. You know, like it just gets added to the list. Like, there's no Falcons fan that's like, you know what? I'm a new man today because Spurs blew
the pain lead. Isn't any less for like, Falcons fans. They may welcome the Spurs fans and go, hey, you're one of us now. But if they think back to what happened that night in Houston where they thought they had a Super Bowl wrapped up, they're not going to feel better because the Spurs did it. Time may heal the wounds, but not other instances where fan bases are ruined because their team chokes. That's not going to help Falcon fans.
Yeah, 28-3 is also, like, I saw other people comparing, like, 28-3 is way worse. It's way worse. They could have won the Super Bowl that night.
Yeah.
The Spurs, no matter what they were not going to win the championship.
It's
like, it has to be a Game 7.
If they're Game 7 up 29 points, the chance to win it all.
Like, that's
is the same.
The Super
or
Bowl.
Even worse, maybe, depending on how you feel about deficits football compared to basketball. But as far as the final game of a potential championship season and game four, where you still got more games to play, you're out of the series if you go by historically, unless you're a Warrior or a Cavs fan or just an NBA fan, you remember that series. But you're not officially out. So if you go on and play the way you say you have played, because you ask any Spurs player, and it's coming from Mitch Johnson, it seems, they keep saying that, we have controlled the ending of all these games in a way of saying, hey, we blew it or we won it. It wasn't the Knicks. Castle did it last night. I think Mitch Johnson said something similar where, hey, we are the reason these games have ended a certain way. It ain't the Knicks who have done it.
There's some truth to it.
But it's kind of empty if you continue to blow things.
Yeah, it's...
Then that means... You have found no fix through the first four games of the series.
Yeah, we threw the ball off of one of our players' back and fouled someone to give up the winning points in game two.
But there's no guarantee you win that game. But yes, your failures, your mistakes led to the Knicks winning.
I mean, they've been up, like they hammered it in the first half of like they've been up 15 points.
Yeah, they've been up
every
double digits
game.
In all these games.
They've been up. They've had a lead with like 2 minutes left in all these games. Like they've led late in all these games too. Like the Knicks come back and make it close, but the Spurs like have. I mean, you know, we I think we've said it after at least game two and game three, and now we'll say it after game four. The Spurs could just be up 3-1. They could be up. They could be tied 2-2. Like there's so many different ways where this goes in a better way for San Antonio than what's actually happened.
We didn't think it'd play out this dramatically, but one of the talking points for the series was the youth of the Spurs and how they would handle it because they went in and won a game seven against OKC. You think, okay, this young team was mature enough to do that. The question was, are the finals just a different beast? And so far, it appears yes. The finals are just a different beast, and the Spurs have been unable to close these games out when they found ways to get it done against the Thunder. And unfortunately for them, they're one more game away from being done. Yeah. And the Knicks have shown the ability to close you out when they can't. Like they don't play around. They don't mess around. In this playoffs, when they got to win and we advance, and of course this case will be win the whole thing, they blew out the Hawks. They blew out the Cavs, and they took apart the Sixers. When it's time to close a team out, they do it. So we will see if the Spurs get the Knicks' best effort. Because if you're asking the Knicks, they'll probably say, we haven't really played our best, and yet we're still up 3-1. I mean, over the course of last night's second half, they played pretty well. Thanks in large parts to some of the Spurs' failures. But for the Knicks, if you are looking at the entirety of this playoff run. Since Hawks game three, the Knicks would probably tell you we've played our worst basketball in the series. Partly, I would say, quite a bit to do with the opponent forcing you to play this type of basketball. But I don't think the Knicks will tell you they've played their best, and somehow for them they're up 3-1 thanks to the Spurs and their mistakes. And also the Knicks took advantage of it. There's OG Anunoby, despite not getting boxed out. That's a great play. That's a great play to rise above everyone, have that type of control. Jalen Brunson didn't have the moment there, but he had his moments throughout that second half, particularly in that fourth quarter, knocking down shots. So the anatomy of a comeback is sure. The team making the comeback does what they do, but you have to get help. The Spurs just gave cataclysmic type help, at least for them, because the Fox turnovers, they had multiple. The Fox turnovers, the block shot by OG on Fox. You've got Victor Wembanyama missing two free throws. It was poor. I think the only one who escapes really any slander, maybe throw Castle in there, but he had foul trouble. So if you want to blame him for that, you blame him for that. Dylan Harper, unimpeachable. I don't know what you could say about what he did other than not getting the ball. I guess not getting the ball over Cat. So if you want to throw something at him, you can.
Yeah.
Because Cat does tip it off, make the tip.
No, not boxing out on OG. Although, yeah, like, that wasn't really his guy.
Yeah, and trying to get to a guy full speed is tough when that guy's running full speed. But, yeah, not putting a body. But there's very, very little you can say about Dylan Harper. It's funny to look at Ron Harper in the crowd. Ron Harper is a dad who takes no bleep, whether it be online or in the building. He is not one to mess with. Like, I forgot what was said. I think some random said something about his son, and he was like, "What, did you ever play?" And it was a little bit more aggressive than that in talking about him. So we've got all these personalities, and I got distracted, but I wanted to get to this. I'm trying to think of comps for other teams as far as the level of player the Knicks get to bring out. Like, yeah, they have some all-time legends. Blair Johnson was a fine NBA player, but it's not like he's one of the legends of the game. He's not Tim Duncan and David Robinson who show up at Spurs games. You got Stephon Marbury. You got John Starks. They're part of, not Marbury per se, but Starks is part of a time in Knicks basketball where they felt like this is a New York team, it's a real New York team, and we got a shot to win, except Jordan's in the way. But it's like the John Starkses, Latrell Sprewells. Like, these are not exactly the all-time greats you would see at other arenas when their team is close to a title. I'm trying to think of the comps would be.
Yeah.
Like, if the Spurs were, like, if, I guess, Shane Battier. What, did he play for the Spurs?
No.
No, he didn't. He beat the Spurs.
Bruce Bowen.
Bruce Bowen. Yes, there it is. Bruce Bowen.
I mean, Bruce Bowen literally has his jersey retired by the Spurs.
A little much. I mean, you've got you're the franchise of Duncan and Gervin and
Robinson.
And Robinson.
Parker,
even throw Ginobili in there. Bruce Bowen gets this? Okay.
It's more of a, like, you know, fan favorite.
Of course. I'm sure he was. I'm sure he made Spurs fans delighted every time he stepped under a shooter and turned their ankle.
Put his foot under Kobe.
Yeah, openly admitting to saying, that's what I did to mess with guys.
He'd get thrown out of every game.
Yeah, today. He could not be the player. He could not be the player he was because he wouldn't play enough games.
No.
Too many flagrant twos he would suffer.
But I looked up Larry Johnson. Also, Larry Johnson.
He was a better Hornet.
He was a way better Hornet. Also, just overall, like, great job of 90s marketing by the NBA. He's a two-time All-Star. Yeah,
Larry Johnson.
In my head, he was like a five-time All-Star.
Yeah, well, he had the run, for people who don't remember, he was part of the UNLV team. So he came into the league with that type of claim. Yeah, and he had, of course, the commercials. He was a
cross-dressing
people yelling about Jalen Green
fingernails.
Jerry McCain's dancing in a way that you think is not appropriate for a grown man. Whatever. Larry Johnson had full ad campaigns dressed up like Mrs. Doubtfire. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but two-time All-Star, averaged 12 points in 5 years with the Knicks.
Yeah, like, I mean, he had a couple of 20 points per game seasons. Yes, back in the day when scoring was down or different. But yeah, as a Knick.
40 today.
I imagine there was some debilitating injury. He was done at 31. I think he might have had back issues. But Larry Johnson only played till he's 31 years old.
Yeah.
And he was a two-time All-Star, does have a Rookie of the Year, All-NBA once, a second-team All-NBA, and yet none of that happened with the Knicks.
All the great stuff, other than the four-point play, like, all that's with the Hornets. And he's like, I mean, I don't want to say inner circle, but he feels like one of the legends where you're like, wow, there's Larry Johnson. You
Larry
know, like
Johnson.
They treat him with some real.
Allen like- Houston, Latrell Sprewell. These are all fine NBA players, but for the Knicks to highlight these guys like they were legends speaks to the level of ineptitude the Knicks have had.
I mean,
where they couldn't find better players to stack the front row with.
Like Stephon, even like Stephon Marbury being like Knick legend, Stephon Marbury. It's like,
he's
what?
A New York legend.
Yeah,
that's where
I'll give
that
him
lands.
That.
He's a New York legend. He's not a.
He's a New York legend
who happened to play for the Knicks
and like was eating Vaseline when he was.
Hey, let's not.
I mean, like,
come on.
He did that. That's a thing.
Sure.
He did.
Think
on
of all
video.
The, think of all the
back when
but
in
think
like
of the
2008
times.
When you had to like really go out of your way to film yourself doing something.
Yeah.
You had to jump through hoops to film yourself eating Vaseline.
See, I just wanted to talk about the Knicks franchise being a joke, and these guys. Now you're just going to some ugly things.
Well, how is that? That's part of his resume. That's why it's ridiculous.
Think of how great he was in China, Sean.
Cool. At the Shanghai Sharks, when I have him courtside, that's one thing.
Look, I'm not pushing back on the Knicks being clownish as far as who they have to honor because of a lack of success. Trying to think,
Steve Novak was he there?
I didn't see him.
Was Landry Fields?
Jeremy Lin was doing media, so he couldn't be there. Yeah. At least
Raymond Felton.
Although he did, he was at Game 3.
Yeah.
Whoa, hell, Iman Shumpert was walking around
again. Iman Shumpert was wearing his own jersey,
but he wasn't. He wasn't with the anointed that were the guys we just mentioned.
No, but I mean, the fact that they turned down Jerry Seinfeld in Game 3. Sitting courtside, and Iman Shumpert has.
Well, they learned from their mistakes. Jerry was fully in attendance, and so was, for some reason, Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah.
Look, Tina Fey had to sit on the second row.
That's
nonsense if Kirk Herbstreit gets front row seats. If Kirk has to get out of the way so Jalen Brunson can throw an inbounds pass in, Tina Fey should take that seat. There's no way Kirk Herbstreit and his friend wearing that All-American 12 t-shirt on, whatever the hell he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Was there. There's no way he should get front row over Tina Fey.
No. No, that was probably of, because it is like part of the fun of these Knicks MSG games is the, like, wait, is that Allen Houston? Like, is that level of the, and Kirk Herbstreit being there was like, my jaw hit the floor. And it was wild. The Knicks were making a phenomenal
this
comeback.
Giant run back. Like, who the most is that? Is that Kirk Herbstreit? Yeah,
it was
that
the
was
most
my
shocking
reaction.
Thing from last night.
Yeah,
oh, Kirk Herbstreit. Not only is he in the house,
he's got front row.
He's standing next to Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Jerry. I'm looking at Larry David. I got the Haim sisters with Taylor Swift, Mariska Hargitay sitting right next to them. And then there's Kirk Herbstreit standing there right by Jalen Brunson late in the game as he's trying to get an inbounds pass in.
Yeah.
And he has to move out of the way because Jalen gets shifted down a little bit. I'm like, come on. I know. I love game day in the 90s too. But game day in 2026 doesn't get Kirk Herbstreit front row at a Knicks finals game.
No, no.
Who's he calling to get that done?
It has to be an ABC thing, right?
Right. Like back when Fox with the World Series, they put star of Dollhouse, Eliza Dushku, in attendance for World Series Game 3. That's what it had to be.
They should do that. They should do that. They'd be like, star of high potential, Caitlin Olsen here.
I'd rather see – it'd be a better time for Caitlin Olsen to be standing there than Kirk Herbstreit. What are we doing?
They have to have some terrible, like procedural show that they're like, star of – if this was on NBC, there would be an entire row for the Chicago Fire people.
Well, the SVU people were already there. So
But they're actual legends.
Yes. The Chicago PD, Chicago Fire.
The Goldbergs.
The hospital show that's based in Chicago. Those stars should have been at the game as opposed to Kirk Herbstreit.
The legend of Reggie Dinkins. Actually, he is there. It's Tracy Morgan.
He was seen teary-eyed sitting in the back of his car. After the game, he's so overcome with emotion. I'm trying,
and that was just from seeing Nick Legend. I don't know.
I'm trying to think.
J.R. Smith,
the Rockets comp, like if the Rockets rolled out there.
It'd be like if
Latrell Sprewell was better than John Barry, but
it'd be like if Rafer Alston was out there
and Eric Gordon. 15 years from now, sitting courtside as the Rockets are trying to win a title?
Even like, so the 99 guys and the night, or just the 90s guys in general.
Finals, okay.
Yeah, like that to me is more the Eric Gordon, like, okay, at least Eric Gordon was on like some really awesome teams. He was like the fifth best player, but he was all on the teams. Like, it's the ones where I'm like, why are the guys from like the 2011 Knicks here? Like, why the 2000, like, the 2000s Knicks, like, what is,
and there's no reason Amon
Shumpert be here?
Should be glomming on to this moment.
No.
You happen to roll through.
You have
there
another moment.
But you're on the Cavs title run teams. What are we talking about?
Why do you want this? Why do you want people to be like,
I imagine he's got to be a New Yorker, right?
He has to be. He has to be.
No, he's from Illinois.
This is egregious, then. This is so egregious.
He was from Illinois and played at Georgia Tech. I don't know why he's there, because he spent a part of his career there early on with the, I guess, the Carmelo teams.
Yeah, yeah.
Not enough of
a
reason.
He got traded with J.R. Smith to the Cavs and immediately went to the finals for four straight years.
Not enough of a reason to show up in an orange suit because you played on some below-average Knicks.
No, that's my thing. It's like the 21st century Knicks that are, other than like Carmelo Anthony, Jeremy Lin, Amari Stoudemire. Even Amari Stoudemire is like kind of borderline, but I'll give it to him. It's the finals. We're excited. All I'm saying is that when the Knicks make the finals in 25 years again, those guys better not be there. It better all be
Brunson
the 15
and Kat
guys that played last night.
Brunson, Kat, Alvarado's minted now for what he did last night.
Alvarado, like, stamped.
Yeah.
You know, it's the, like,
that rotation guys from last night, McBride's been terrible, but they like him, so I guess he shows up too. But, I mean, he's been bad, really bad. But
if the Knicks are good for, like, five straight years, I don't know.
I did have the thought as the game looked like it was getting away from them. Now we're actually talking basketball again. Whatever the Knicks do, all the talk about, hey, maybe if this gets away from them, trade Kaffrianis. No. They don't have any money, but find some guys who can be your backup guards. You're depending, and you know Alvarado had his moments, but you're depending on Jordan Clarkson and Deuce McBride and Alvarado compared to it always felt like they were outmatched, even when the Spurs would go to their bench, although they didn't lean heavily into it as far as backcourt guys. But the fact that Jordan Clarkson and Deuce McBride have to deal with Dylan Harper and Castle and Vassell, that's a mismatch. So however this plays out, if the Knicks want any, if they have this belief that this can continue, and they would certainly if they win it, they need an upgrade at the guard spot because Jordan Clarkson was not ready for the moment.
Yes.
He was a disaster, and so is Deuce McBride. Mike Brown put him in to spell his guys for minutes at a time just to give him a couple minutes and then had to yank those guys back out because they were bad. I don't think Jalen Brunson came out in the second half. Wimby pretty much played the entire second half too. That's just the nature of the game for the Knicks when they're trying to make a comeback. But, hey, despite some of their roster construction issues, particularly in the backcourt, they're up 3-1 with a chance to go win that thing on Saturday in San Antonio.
Chris Dudley was at the game as a New York Knicks alum. That's what they call him, Knicks alum. Baron Davis as a Knicks alum was there. Great player.
Not for the Knicks, he wasn't. Not for the Knicks.
That is like the Rockets make the finals. Here's Houston Rockets alum Carmelo Anthony.
And Baron Davis, notably a California Los Angeles kid. What the hell?
Yeah, like there's another guy. Oh, Meta World, please. From New York.
Went
to St. John's.
Quintessentially New York.
Yes.
I get that if you want him there.
Like, we're squinting to call him a Knick alum.
Yeah, but
okay.
Baron Davis played two seasons with them.
Yeah.
At the very end of his career. Knick alum. Okay, sure.
Amy Schumer is there. Alex Rodriguez, owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
J.D. Davidson, Rockets alum. So when he gets invited back when the Rockets are winning, on the verge of winning a title, the Rockets can now do that because of what the Knicks are doing.
Usman Garuba gets
all
a standing
ovation. All of them. Ty, bring him in too. All of those guys. If that's what the Knicks are on, the Rockets can do that too. Hopefully they're at a point where they can actually have those conversations about who they invite back. Seems
Cam Scadabo was there.
There's
like a full list.
They had a list after game three of all the celebrities that happened to be there. Cam Scadabo didn't make it into the front row, so oddly enough. All right, we'll go to break.
Penn Badgley.
Dan Humphrey, famous of Gossip Girl, based in New York City. Too bad Leighton Meester couldn't make it. All right, we'll go to break with that. We got a couple segments to go before we're done. You are certainly welcome to join us, 713-780-3776. Art says Spike Lee is more of a Nick than Marbury, and Art is right. But they didn't have to invite Spike. He will always be there. All right, we'll go to break with that.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, talking a lot about the finals, Knicks went away. We narrowly, maybe avoided, it's not the right way to put it, but we narrowly missed out on a triple bang. Because back in 2025, well, Mike Breen, we'll have it here. Mike Breen was sitting down on the Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson podcast and was asked a question. This was back in February of 2025, so in the middle of last season, sat down with two of the Nova boys on their podcast, and he said this.
1 second.
But we'll get to it here. And we'll, looks like we got a call. We'll get to that, too. Anyone else want to join us? 713-780-3776. But we did not get a triple bang. We got, it's good. I guess when you do a tip-in, when it's a tip-in, you do that. Mike Breen holds
you can't bang
the triple bang, a potential triple bang for an actual shot that goes from distance. But here is Mike Breen.
It's still loading.
Okay.
Twitter's just
stupid Twitter. But Mike Breen, notably, is the guy who calls games for the Knicks during the regular season. So this is a home game for Mike Breen, the entire series is, and he's never done the triple bang. He's done a double bang. He did it when Steph knocked down that shot in OKC during the regular season. He may have done it when Ray Allen hit the shot against the Spurs. I don't remember. There have been very few double bangs. There's never been a Mike Breen triple bang. So it would be special circumstances, and the Nova guys got this out of Mike Breen. We nearly had it last night. We nearly missed out on it last night.
So will there ever be a triple bang?
All right. They're not premeditated, but I'll say this. If either of you guys hit a...
Just us two?
Anybody on the Knicks. if you hit a game-winning shot in the finals, there'll be a triple bang.
If we hit a game-winning shot in the finals, but we're down 3-0, you still saying triple bang?
Oh, that's a great question.
I don't know.
Bang. Knicks win. Yeah. See you next game.
Not even a bang. Just, all right. Well, season goes on for another game. See you guys. Stay tuned.
So we were this close because it was Brunson. He launched that three, came up short. Anunoby tips it in. Not enough to get the triple bang out of Mike Breen. We will see if there's a game winner in these next couple games for the Knicks. Do we get the elusive triple bang out of the preeminent NBA broadcaster.
I almost don't think a triple bang would work against Tuma. If he just goes bang, bang,
it does
bang.
Feel. Now he's a professional, so the emotion he uses to fluck, he may get it done, but it does feel like, oh, this is performative. If you drop in a third one,
well, it also it's a little bit like you mentioned, and luckily he's never had to catch it. He hasn't caught it since he's been calling NBA Finals game since he's been on the number one ABC team, but it would be a real like, oh yeah, this is the Knicks play-by-play guy who's doing like, what are we watching?
Well,
this
trust
on SNY.
Well, trust the Spurs fans last night took note of it.
Oh really?
Yeah, they were. Can you tell that this is, and not just Spurs fans, Spurs media? Can you tell that this guy calls games for the Knicks in the regular season? I will tell you now. I don't tweet it to troll. But I was doom scrolling to find Spurs people reacting because one guy is very prominent. Spurs reporter comes across my timeline far too much. So I was just trying to see how Spurs media was feeling. They are not to the level of OKC Thunder media where it's like a state where they're like state media and nothing the Thunder do is wrong. But you know, it's their team in the finals and they want to support them. And yeah, it was tough. Tough last night for everyone surrounding that team.
I will say for Mike Breen, last night, the Knicks were in the midst of making the biggest comeback in NBA Finals history.
He's allowed. If he happened to be showing any favoritism through, this was the moment.
I don't know if the first half they're complaining that much about what Mike Breen was saying.
Probably not. When you're up, when you score 76 points and everything's going your way because you can't miss a three. Yeah. I feel like all they were doing was laughing at Knicks fans for all the complaining they were doing. In between games three and four.
It did feel like in the first half, like it was very reminiscent of the Rockets Daryl Morey era, where it's like they walk in thinking the refs are gonna screw us against the Warriors.
And I think it was emphasized when the Cat overturned. When they thought they had Wimby for a foul and they don't even get the foul. They get a foul on Cat. So he has to sit down with two fouls and very early in the game, their game plan probably went right out the door because they couldn't run offense through Cat because all the conversation was about Brunson over dribbling and they need to move the ball. So I think Cat was going to be a big part of that game plan, and he was out before they could even establish anything. And it looks like the Knicks took the entire half to wallow.
Recover.
And then when they recovered in a big way. Let's get to Keith here. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Unbelievable game last night. I do think, you know, the one-minute challenge into the game with Cat apparently hooking Wemby is just such an outrageous overturn that soon of the game. And then even Cat's first foul, he's step-for-step with Fox on that little, you know, baseline/drive thing. Like, those are, the way they've been calling it the first four games, like, that's a ridiculous overturn and an absolutely ridiculous challenge to protect Wemby from one effing foul is ridiculous. And then the Fox Cat one's like, you know, they said the last three games, Cat has 0 points in the fourth quarter. They need to run the offense through Cat. And then the refs ticket Cat with two fouls in the first minute. And then in the NBA Finals, Adam Silver's NBA, we have to play Buck Porty and Jeremy Sohan minutes in the finals. Mike Brown is forced to play four centers. And Mitchell Robinson, like, you're an NBA player for 6, 7, 8 years now. How are you gassed constantly? In playing 3 to 4 minute bursts. Like, there's players playing, you know, 48 minutes a game in some aspects, and he's gassed. So those first two fouls were absolutely ridiculous by Cat. A challenge 1 minute in, like, it's just outrageous. Like, it's like calling an ABS call on the second or third pitch of the game. Like, what are you doing here, you know? And also, Apple TV, maximum pleasure guaranteed. Fantastic show. Are you in on that?
I have seen the first episode. That's Tatiana Maslany, who I like. Some of you may know her as She-Hulk. I know her as the woman who played all those characters in Orphan Black. So, yeah, I've seen the first episode. I'm not all in, but I'm still going to give it a try. Yeah, Wimby's conditioning came up quite a bit.
He was talking about Mitchell Robinson.
Oh, yeah. Mitchell Robinson got cooked by people because of his apparently being out of gas middle of the first quarter because he had to come in for Cat. He's like, I wasn't ready. I don't know. He looked bad. And then he
played 6 minutes in the first quarter. And
he looked like he was dead. And then he threw the elbow to Wimby. He was not in a good space. But Wimby got it too. And a lot has to do, at least people point to, his performance drops with a lack of multiple days off in these playoff series. When he has to play more heavy minutes, the Spurs did what they needed to do to manage his minutes in the regular season. Now, there ain't nothing going on about managing minutes, so he is maybe feeling the brunt of that. He will have his 2 days off, so we'll see how he responds. The Spurs had Wimby covering Alvarado. They like to hide Wimby and let him be a roamer, and all Mike Brown did was, we're just going to set screens with Alvarado, and he doesn't run out of gas, so we're just going to run him around, and that was somehow, some way, Alvarado played a big part in the comeback by being a screener. Now, he knocked down a couple shots, but just keeping Wimby on the move, if you're going to hide your big on the small guard, we're not going to let him stand still. So a non-shooter's hiding in the corner, and you can hide your guy and let him roam. They made Wimby move, and it led to open shots. And we know Anunoby was knocking down shots throughout. Mikal Bridges, not so much. He had a tough night.
Hey, listen, they're not all going to.
Yeah, you can't have everyone
like,
play great.
Like OG and Anunoby, I have the box score. He went 7 for 9 from 3.
Yeah.
Just like,
and this is why you're thinking, hey, why can't you be Kawhi?
I'm saying if I was OG Anunoby's friend,
his worst possible friend.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in the middle of this run where your contributions may lead to the first title for that franchise in 50 plus years, and you're like, hey, man, you should be able to do more. Why aren't they letting you do more?
Exactly. When they hand Jalen Brunson the Finals MVP for shooting like 38% in the series, I'm going to be like, man, see how they do you, OG Anunoby.
The people who vote are supposed to be ball knowers. If OG Anunoby has another great game, let's say this ends in five and Anunoby's great again, you can't give this to Brunson. I get it. He's the star. He's had one good game. Anunoby does this again, you got to vote for Anunoby for MVP.
It's like not really like a Steph Curry thing where
he's playing well and Iguodala's doing his thing.
Yeah, there's just so much focus on him that like it is getting other guys. It's like Brunson is just like kind of taking tough jumpers and missing them.
Yeah,
he starts making them in the second half.
Yeah, because he's a great clutch player, but it's not like he's such a great creator for others, and he's certainly not creating that much for Anunoby. You know how many times Anunoby's bailing out possessions?
And how
often he's doing that and it's working?
And we have a call coming in from Becky Hammond who wants to get in on this. Becky Hammond.
Becky would like – Becky, you don't have an MVP vote. You can't vote. Becky, please. But she goes, I'm telling you, it's a travesty if you give it to the little man who clearly – isn't good enough and wouldn't win it without Anunoby doing his thing.
Yeah, all right. And Anunoby and Towns. Not so much last night.
Towns, no, not so much. Towns got into that thing he does, even though I think foul two was bogus. But,
vintage cat performance.
Yeah, but we're back to Towns committing dumb fouls. But he had some moments, including the defensive play of the night when he, you might want to give that to Anunoby for the block on Fox, but the Towns tip screws up an entire out-of-bounds play by Mitch Johnson. We would have had some real controversy, though, because he tipped the ball and the clock didn't move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we would have, terrible.
So even if Castle – the question would be, I guess at that point everything's getting reviewed.
Yeah.
So people would be wondering if Castle got the ball off, but what we really would have been told about is, hey, that's a tip by Towns. The ball didn't move. Now we got to judge how much time would have elapsed and see if the Castle play would have actually worked out in the requisite amount of time. So we narrowly avoided a long-ass review to determine Knicks win or Knicks loss, depending on the result of the inbound.
Since they're actively screwing the Knicks, they would have been like, nope, Spurs win.
We didn't even see Cat's finger move. Let's go home.
Actively screwing the Knicks.
Because we need a long series, and that's the thing that the NBA desperately wants.
By the way,
it may end in five.
As they're actively screwing the Knicks in the first half,
23 free throws to six.
23 free throws in the first half, and every Knicks fan is like, they're screwing us.
Yeah, because they put our big man in trouble with that ridiculous overturn. All right, we talked quite a bit about the finals. When we come back, we'll talk about the Texans because one of their best players thinks this team can win a title. We'll hear from Danielle Hunter when we come back.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Texans are on the field today. If anything pops up, we'll let you know before we wrap it up. But Danielle Hunter was asked about several things. To talk about C.J. Stroud and the offense. Everything you take away from comments from the defense and the offense or players not named C.J. about the offense is C.J. is as focused, more focused than he's ever been. Why in year four is that? A narrative and a storyline? I don't know. I guess we'll just look at it as a positive. We won't say he wasn't focused in years one, two, and three. He is just now stupidly locked in.
Yeah.
The other side of
even
it is...
Even more focused.
Even more focused. The other side of it is a different question that perhaps no one wants to dig that deep into. Why is everyone so focused on his clear difference in mentality this offseason as opposed to the first two? His first two off seasons. But either way, You got a quarterback who's locked in, hopefully at least a success. A guy you don't have to ask about or worry about, Sunil Hunter. He's been great since he's been a Texan. The Texans have certainly rewarded him, but he wants something else. He wants Super Bowl. Let's hear what he thinks about this team and their capability of getting there.
A few days I've been here, I noticed a lot, you know, from O-line and the QB play, you know, how they work together in sync. You know, definitely better across the O-line. And CJ, just having his pocket awareness, he's able to step up and just making plays, you know. I just got done through in the indoor talking to CJ, saying, telling him doing a good job of just stepping up, having awareness of the edge rushers and all that. You know, he was just complimenting us back and how we play together as a string. But definitely across the O-line, and CJ just making his reads and everything.
So that falls in line with what we've heard from several players. Daniel Hunter has noticed that the offense is a little different. Second year under Nick Cayley, they're moving differently. They're getting to the line quicker. Hopefully it limits some of the line of scrimmage issues they had, whether it be shifts that didn't come off right, guys didn't line up right, some of the pre-snap penalties that were a concern, particularly in the red zone. The Texans are doing what they can to fix it. So that is what one of their star defenders is noticing. So Daniel Hunter, as I said, very successful. One of the better acquisitions for the Texans since Nick Caserio has been their GM. And they've rewarded him handsomely for it, as I mentioned. But there's a belief that this is the year, right? You hear it from Will Anderson.
Yeah.
That this the focus this year, well, he said it last year about putting the bull in the ring, but there seems to be an increased belief.
Do it again this year.
An increased belief that this is the year they can go win it all. I don't think anyone questions the defense's capabilities of winning that. We've talked about it, that I've seen the comparisons because Seattle did it last year and there wasn't a lot of respect from Sam Darnold going into the season. And that should be a model, right, for them. If Seattle can do it with that great defense, which was right up there with the Texans for the best defense in football, there's a chance this team can do it too. They had a great receiver. We have a great one. Good running back duo in Charbonnet and Walker. People believe Woody Marks and Dave Montgomery can be that. And let's say above average offensive line. My thing is can Nick Cayley beat Clint Kubiak? A guy who got a head coaching job and everyone's making... No, who's the guy in Arizona? Oh, it's LaFleur. They're making fun of his hair. Mike LaFleur apparently has a hair of a guy who shouldn't be a head coach. I don't know if he's a visor guy and he took it off to have the interview or the sit down in front of the press, and that's why his hair looks that way. But it's got a bit of a Jimmy Neutron, that's not a leader of men type haircut. And people are going, that guy can't win. It's just how people react. That's how they treat it. Well, they treated Adam Gase that way for different reasons because they had the bug eyes. But there's always something. If you don't fit the profile of what an NFL coach look like, we got to call you into question. You're looking at the hair right now, aren't you?
Well, I'll start by saying first I looked up Matt LaFleur, and then I was like, oh, wait, Mike LaFleur.
Mike, yeah.
And when I looked up Mike LaFleur, the first thing that pops up is Mike LaFleur haircut. Not a good space to be in.
Nope.
It's not great. You know, it's a little too mohawkish.
Yeah.
It's a mohawk.
It looks like something that perhaps Mike LaFleur might want to adjust if he cares about the opinion of the internet about how he's not prepared to lead a team to success because of his hair. I imagine not, but maybe somebody gets some. Hey, Mike, there's a certain look we're looking for.
Yeah, just like, you know, a little bit more on the sides. I think you're good. Just a little bit more.
Look, Mike LaFleur has to deal with Jacoby Brissett threatening holdouts. So he's got bigger problems in his hair. Of all, like Jacoby Brissett, the guy you said, we're going to need you to be the adult in the room. This is your job. You know what? I would like more money before I commit to doing all that leadership stuff. I think they've come to some type of agreement. He has shown up to team activities. Well, for a time, Jacoby Brissett wasn't in the building, which is kind of crazy. That even Jacoby Brissett has contract demands. Hey, yeah. If you're going to name me the starter, I would like to be paid close to what a starter gets paid like.
Take less to compete. That's what I say. If I'm
betting. Now, he probably looked at that quarterback room, Carson Beck. You guys better come correct, please. Let's not play games. There's not actually a guy who can take this job. Just
drafted him for a reason.
not to start week one.
Yeah.
That wasn't the reason.
Like me, Jacoby Brissett, maybe you need to, you know, take a little bit of a haircut on this one.
I wish he would just lean into it and make jokes yeah, like that. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Were we able to find
we got D'Amico. Daniil Hunter.
Let's hear from Daniil Hunter on his expectations for this team and whether they can match what he believes they're capable of.
The biggest thing in my career, you know, I really want to go to the final game. So, you know, that can only happen if I pass the knowledge that I know along to the team and my teammates, defensive line room and everybody else, so we can all play together and have that confidence to make it to the final game.
Does it feel like y'all are close, or is that something that y'all need to engage just sort of being on the camp? Like, where are you?
I mean, we definitely got the team. You know, a group of great men, you know, able to have a great coach, a great front office, you know, being able to lead us the right way, and a lot of guys that are just young and just buying into the program. You know, I feel like that's the first step to going into the right direction.
I don't think there should be really any problem with what he said as far as they have a team who can go, who should be considered a Super Bowl contender. I wouldn't put them in favorite category. I think there are too many question marks on offense, but that's a team who, if things broke right, of course, they can go win a Super Bowl. I've seen beyond, you know, what happens from 7 to 10 about projections. You can take that seriously or not. 14-3, I've seen that from people. Some of it has to do with how soft the schedule is early. It does get tougher, at least on paper, late. Some games and what could be bad weather against some pretty competitive teams. But 14-3 is lofty. Are they capable of that? Yes. But that, I think that is a lofty goal for this team because of the questions I have about their offense. But at least Daniil Hunter believes it. And I think that defense, when they look at themselves, they go, yeah, we should be playing for a Super Bowl.
I get why they think they're a great team.
They're going to have to, I think they're going to have to do a lot of carrying. But it's understandable why those great players who are part of that great unit believe they should be playing deep into January and hopefully into February. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go before we're done here. We're still taking calls if you want to get in. 713-780-3776 is the number. One more segment, and then it is a couple shows out and about. Where are the guys? Oh, Rodeo Goat. No, not Rodeo Goat. What is it called? Now I got to look it up, but that's on me. I didn't have that pulled up. They're going to be at, yeah, Rodeo Goat. Tomorrow they're at Patterson Park.
Yeah.
Today, Will Kunkel and then Jeremy and Joe will be broadcasting from 12 to 6 at Rodeo Goat. So we'll have one more segment and then we'll throw it out to those guys.
Joe and Josh Beard.
Joe and who?
Josh Beard. Ever heard of him? Multi-time champion in our dynasty league?
Yeah, I've heard of him. But the copy says Jeremy and Joe. But it's Joe and Josh Beard today?
Yeah, because everyone on Jeremy and Joe's been out this week some point.
So you just throw... Look, it's the Jeremy and Joe show.
Yeah.
Featuring
the
whoever.
The brand.
Whoever,
will be
yes. Whoever. You know, Kimmel will have a guest host.
Yeah.
Fallon will have a guest host. This time, it's Josh filling in for Jeremy, correct?
Yes. Jeremy's out.
So Joe and Josh Beard out at Rodeo Goat from 12 to 6. First, Will Kunkel. But even before all that, a break and then one final segment. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listen to Texas Radio Hall of Famers John and Lance weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll get to Dave here. He'll talk about what's happening in the finals. But because at some point there's just going to be a picture of everything, we have a shot of the De'Aaron Fox, OG Anunoby play where Fox goes up. Everyone says he should have dribbled it out and got fouled. Instead, he went for the layup to try to go up three. That was his reasoning when he was asked after the game. Hey, I was trying to go up three and make them have to make a three. There's a clear foul on Anunoby. He does not get ball. That's all wrist and forearm. and
superstar call,
and no one cares.
Superstar because, call for my guy, OG.
Because it doesn't matter that he didn't that foul wasn't called. Maybe the refs, maybe we'll get that last 2 minute report, and Fox will be vindicated. But once again, no one will care, despite the clear evidence of a foul. All right, let's get to Dave. He wants to talk about Jalen Brunson, who in some ways is worse than SGA, according to Dave. What's up?
Well, listen, first of all, let me just say this. Spurs blew the game. They blew it. I'm not gonna, you know, make it about the fouls on that. They did blow the game. But if you watch that game or the whole series, Brunson hasn't been doing well at all. He couldn't get nothing started. So he's very smart. So the way I get something started, I just start looking for contact. And he prowls around so he can find some contact. He'll throw his head like Shay. They rewarded him in the third quarter. I want to say like three plays in a row where they sent him to the free throw line because Spurs didn't react to it and didn't really like, okay, we're about 29, no big deal. Oh, we're about 27, no big deal. Next thing you know, it's down to 19. Now you start thinking about it, and it snowballs. He prowls for fouls all the time and gets rewarded with them, and I despise it. I really do. But Spurs still blew that game.
Yeah, Brunson has had the reputation throughout his tenure, particularly when he became a Knick, because he was the focal point, that the foul baiting, the exaggerating contact was part of his game. That has lessened as his star has risen. There's been less talk of that. And then when Shea took over as the internet's most hated foul baiter, people forgot that Brunson still does it. Yeah, there'll be some neck snapping back. There'll be the awkward dribbles into players, which the NBA said they were going to officiate. And they did it for like a month, two seasons ago, where they said, hey, if you veer off in an unnatural basketball movement, then we're going to call you for the foul or not reward you. That has stopped being really really officiated in the way that they said it would. So Brunson is taking advantage of that. Look, he's smaller. He plays the angles. But there's also some great shot making, just like Shea. And Shea is not as small as Brunson, so he doesn't have as many disadvantages. So people are like, hey, man, stay on your feet. You're a great player. Stay on your feet. Brunson is catching less heat, I think, in large part because Shea exists. But, yeah, they're both guys. You look at across the league, there are very few guys who do not exaggerate and exacerbate contact to get to the line. Stephon Castle, who is one of the main guys talking about how the Thunder went about their business, said, hey, look, I do it too. It's part of the game, which pisses some people off. Appreciate the call, Dave. Despite all that, Brunson, one game away from a title. We're done. Will Kunkel's up next. They're out at Rodeo Goat. He will be followed by Josh and Joe. And then some combination. We'll do it all again tomorrow. I won't commit because I don't know who's going to be out and about on Friday. Just know that we will be from 12 to 6. And with the World Cup here, we're doing the watch party thing and also Glenn Davis joins John and Lance tomorrow at 8 to break down what happened between Mexico and South Africa. You got Korea playing today as well. And then, of course, a preview of the U.S. versus Paraguay Friday night. It's time. The World Cup is here. All right. Since we're done for today, Sean, what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
No, I don't. I would advise, dead mom or not, stop throwing eggs at NBA superstars. That happened last night as the Spurs were walking back into their hotel. This is why it's hard to be happy for the Knicks winning. I like the players. Everything else about at least most of their fans, distasteful. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.